Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check us out. Send us an email. Get on our newsletter list, whatever it is. Follow me on Instagram. I Am Sorry About Last Night. Rate our podcast. If you like them, give us some stars. You know, we're trying to live a dream here, people. Living a dream. What is it? Saturday, January 16th. I don't know. Really, I guess I'm starting to get used to this life that we're living because this, you know, this unrest, this uneasiness, constantly wondering, are we going to stay open? You know, they're offering PPP money. Do I want to do that? You know, we're still open. Should I apply? What happens if we get shut down? Just the constant taxes now are due, you know, working, watching this election, all the shit that's going on. I'm just like, ugh, it's crazy. And I was talking to my buddy in Texas, and he was saying, you know, I'm losing my intuit. I'm losing my desire to, you know, roll up my sleeves. I mean, you know, I don't feel like, and I get it. I don't feel like, you know, I don't want to like kill myself or anything, but I just want to stay home and just not come to work and you know. It's taking the piss out of everything. And it's just constantly changing. Last night I was having kind of like a little anxiety moment. And, my fault. I started watching the news and this, you know, they're talking about the COVID and they're not getting the vaccines out. And now they're having new versions of it. And all I keep thinking was like, you know, maybe this is just life now. You know, with the masks. I think if I was going to really have, you know, make a list of the top five things I hate in my world, because always, you know, in general, you know, the number one thing are, you know, people being sick and dying. We don't want that. But, you know, the second thing I would think would be wearing masks. And then, you know, all the opinions that people have, and, you know, now we have a billion professionals that all know why. I had a guy come in, masks don't work, and I'm like, oh, really, are we doing this? You know, I don't know. I said, masks do work, sir. They help me keep this business open. that I'm positive about, all right? I don't know about keeping you safe or well. I just know that as far as this business goes, these masks are key to staying open. But, you know, I'm just tired. I'm just tired of, like, giving an opinion. You know, I'm tired of sharing my feelings or my perspective. I just get tired of, you know, and not when it comes to this podcast. I mean, I enjoy sitting down and chatting and just, you know, trying to get out some thoughts. But when it comes to, like, government, vaccines, small business, who's getting what, who's not getting what. You know, I had a lady come in my salon yesterday and was, you know, telling me how bad the restaurant businesses are doing and that they're being treated and singled out unfairly. And I was like, oh, geez, I don't know anything about that. But, you know, inside of me was like, you know, you have an opinion on that. What do you feel, Tom? Blah, blah, blah. And I've learned, you know, through being sober, through sponsorship, you know, how it is that, you know, maybe I don't need to give my opinion on that. Am I an expert? I am not. Do I know anything about the restaurant business? I do not. And I've learned over time that, you know, I should keep my mouth shut. Show me how to live. Love that. I love that. I love that idea. You know, when I first got sober, and that, you know, I always say, if you're trying to get sober or you're trying to do something, trying to change some big thing about your life, find somebody that's done it, or find somebody that's been doing it longer than you. You know, get some ideas. You know, as far as like how I got sober through a 12-step program, and I've talked about, you know, Ron M. And Matt and, you know, my sponsors, it is key for me, at least, to get closer to being the sober person that I hope to be one day. And I think I'm you know, as far as being sober today, I think I'm there. You know, I still get in my head. I still, you know, worry and obsess about certain things. And, you know, I'm not perfect at it, but I definitely recognize it. You know, and one of the great things, you know, there's the cool thing about sponsorship, you know, and it is, you know, I remember I had my first sponsor and I was like, I want to get a new sponsor, but I was so worried about letting my first sponsor know that I was good. I was ready to move on. You know, Ron M. was my temporary sponsor. He said it. I didn't say it. He goes, hey, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. I said, great. He goes, you know, once you get yourself settled in and you might find that you want somebody else to work with, go for it. I'm like, great. And so, you know, over time, you know, working with Ron M., you know, Ron M. provided me an example of how to live right out of the gate, right? It didn't need to be the guy that I liked. It didn't need to be the guy that I wanted to base my whole life around, but he was an example of just the simple things. And really, when I got sober, that's what I needed, just the bare minimum simple things, and that was go to a meeting every day. Boom. That was it. Go to a meeting every day. And Ron was there because he was like, listen, meet me here. I'll take you. Meet me here. I'll take you to this meeting. Meet me here. Let's go to this meeting. So not only was he like, you need to do this, but he was living it. And the funny thing about him was that he had been sober quite a while. He knew how important meetings are. I mean, 50 years of sobriety, you should probably go to a meeting every day, right? Because in the end, it's about being there for the next person. But we get better and, you know, we fade away and blah, blah, blah. But not Ron M. You know, he was there and he said he'd been there long enough. And, you know, as sobriety, you know, sobriety matures too. You know, early immature sobriety, you know, we're saying things, we're doing shit, we don't know what the hell we're doing. That's why it's great to have somebody in that position and in your life that can kind of be an example. And the example that Ron M. was is, look, I go to meetings every day. I'll take you. I'll introduce you to people. I will introduce you to what a commitment is, which means you will be making the coffee. Okay? And honestly, the simple task of making coffee really should be supervised by a sponsor. I'm sure before I've watched people come in, take the coffee commitment, turn it into something that it is absolutely not, which is this big ego on stage kind of thing, you know, special creamers and yada, 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 and all of a sudden resentments show up and then the people are gone. You know, Ron M's like, listen, you make the coffee. It ain't special coffee. Put the fucking coffee in the goddamn thing. Put the hot water in it. Set it to the side. Sugar and creamer. Put a spoon and a napkin and sit the fuck down. You know, I wasn't a coffee expert before I showed up. I love coffee, but I don't. I mean, I know the simple techniques in making a pot of, you know, Mr. Coffee coffee. It ain't that hard. But it's the first opportunity to be awesome. And you're not here to be awesome. So it's great to have, you know, that sponsor in your life. Listen, you know, I was thinking, Ron, maybe, you know, maybe we'll get some, like, special coffee or special. Now, cheap as fucking coffee. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, Maxwell House or Folgers. You know, not buying special. We're not bringing in a coffee grinder here. Great to have someone that's, you know, by my side, even in the smallest of things. You know, I've seen people come in, why don't you be a greeter? What's that? Stand at the door and say hello. Oh, okay, I can do that. It's the first little things. It's those little things that we get to do. You know, you say, great, I'll be the greeter. So you stand at the door and you say, hey, you know, welcome. Usually this my Ron would stand up there with me. We'd have coffee and chat and greet people together. And you just start to learn these little things, the simple things. Can you imagine getting sober and then getting a pay raise or being sober and being upgraded to a new position? I mean, the emotions, the feelings, the ego that shows up with that. If you do not have somebody in your life to help keep the reins in on these things, you know, I always say, tell me I did a good job, I want to be president of the company. Tell me I did a bad job, I want to fucking jump off a building. It's that bipolar. It's that extreme. You know, there's no common sense when it comes to my thinking in early sobriety. So my temporary sponsor, Ron, you know, helping me get that coffee commitment, helping me handle the praise because people will say, hey, man, thanks for making the coffee. It was delicious. Great coffee. Hey, great job setting up the room in the tonight. Thank you. You start to feel special. And Ron M's like, hey, man, you know, just relax. Just made some coffee. No big deal. You know, just keeping me centered, keeping me chill. And then, but over time, you know, you start to, you know, it's all of a sudden you start to be particular. You know, you start to, you know, you'll meet as, and over time you start as, you know, making coffee, people are thanking you, you're shaking hands, you're greeting, you're starting to become part of the group, and you start to see, you know, the cream rises to the top, right? And you start to see, because now I want to start working through the steps, right? And you're looking. You're constantly, oh, I love what that guy says. That guy's great. Or sometimes I, that dude's just cool. I don't know what his sobriety is like, but he's cool. And, you know, that's ego showing up too. You know, maybe I want a cool sponsor. I don't care what his, you know, how sober he is, but you can tell, right? I mean, if a person just shows up once a month and he's cool, you're like, eh. But if he's there every day and, you know, part of the group and you know, part, you know, loving sobriety, he might be a person that's attracted to you as far as maybe finding the next level of sponsor. The permanent sponsor, right? And I remember when that happened, this guy, Mike R., he was great, man. He talked, had a lot of years. You know, he kept it real simple. He dumbed it down a bit for me, a little less winded, but still talked a lot. And I remember I wanted to ask him to be my sponsor so I could start going through the steps. And I was so worried. I don't want to break poor Ron M's heart, right? How am I going to tell Ron I don't want Ron to have him be my sponsor anymore? How am I going to do that? He's going to be brokenhearted. He's going to be so upset. I don't have any clue of what the fuck I'm doing. I almost needed a temporary sponsor to share with me how I was going to break up with my temporary sponsor. And I remember I asked, I don't even know if I had the guts to even say anything to Ron M. I think I asked Mike R. if he'd be my sponsor. I wanted to go through the steps. And then I think he told Ron M. And I was like, oh, he's going to be pissed. I'm such a special newcomer that he's going to be really upset. He didn't give two shits. All he cared about is that I was still here and I was trying to improve and get better with my sobriety and understanding the steps. His job was temporary sponsor. His job was to keep me showing up for the first 30 days. I mean, if you can make 30 days of meetings, I mean, if you, really they say 90 and 90. If you can do 90 meetings in 90 days, you probably are having, your life is changing. And I know mine sure did. You know, my life started to improve. The quality of people started to improve. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about this other podcast that I do. And, you know, just about everybody that's been on that podcast is a friend of mine. And he's like, how can you have so many friends? And I go, honestly, I think it's sobriety. I think it's being sober. I mean, the amount of friends that I've built up in my life through sobriety is huge. So if you can just stay in there and for the first 90 days, you're probably going to, if you're in there for, if you're doing 90 and 90, you're probably going to stick around for a little while. You know, it's all new. It feels good. You've all of a sudden have a place. You're part of a group. People recognize you. You know, you walk the streets. You know, where I live, we live by the beach, so we go down the boardwalk. You do things socially in a community and constantly running into, hey, man, what's up? You know, the secret, hey, what's up? And people are like, yeah, we know so many people. What's up? I don't know, just been here a while, right? But they're really, most of them are sober. And anybody that might be listening that has gotten sober or has changed, you know, gone from black to white or white to black, you know, one extreme sort of life, and then to really have a change and to flip it over and to see how life starts to come at you and friends and relationships, it's interesting. It feels good. And, you know, your life starts getting better. And after 90 and 90, I was at a different place. I was like, I was feeling pretty special. And this is a dangerous time, right? And you have to, or you don't have to. I had to find the next level of sponsor. And Ron M. knew that. Ron was like, he didn't care. He's, you know, he liked being temporary. He liked just giving people rides to meetings, talking about making coffee, talking about making commitments, talking about, you know, leading a meeting. You know, I think at some point they say that you should probably have a year before you start, you know, finding people to set up front and get in that. But, or no, that's not the case. I take that back. They say you should probably wait a year before you set up front. You know, when somebody asks you, hey, do you mind setting up front tonight? You should probably wait till you have a year. But I've seen people like right there, like a couple of months in, setting up front. So I don't think it says that anywhere in the traditions. I don't think it says you have to have a certain amount of time to sit up front and lead a meeting, but whatever. But, you know, he liked the simple things. And then, you want to go further. And that's kind of where your permanent sponsor shows up. And then, you know, working through the steps. But, you know, it's a trip because you think you're doing great and you're really, I thought I was doing great, but reality, I wasn't doing anything. I was loving the attention. I was, you know, I've said it before, live in the manure long enough. And when you finally come out, you think the air is from God. That's kind of how my life felt. I felt like I was amazing. People were recognizing me. I mean, you live such a shitty life. It doesn't take much to look good. And, you know, I was looking good. I was looking better. My parents were thrilled and the people around me were thrilled. And, you know, some people were in shock that I was able to pull it together. But that's all like ego. And of course, I mean, we don't know any better. But you find those people and Mike M. was great, you know, or Mike R., excuse me. He was great. He was starting to show me how to live. But 5 years, you know, there's no given with this recovery. It's not guaranteed. And just when you think you're doing awesome, you realize you're not. And just when you think you're not doing awesome, you realize you're doing really well. So it's just constantly changing. And, you know, they talk about, you know, I forget what's maybe step two, where you're just building that relationship with God. And then, or on the seventh step, you know, just when you try to, when you turn your will and your life over to the care of a higher power. Up until that, I kind of turned my will and my life over to the care of my sponsor. And when I went out and drank after 5 years and you know, finally came back in and, you know, got, asked my buddy Matt if he would be my sponsor. And he was like, yeah, you know, and I've shared the story. Call me every day and we'll see how it goes. He was the one that started to really show me through example on how to live. And, you know, Ron M., constantly happy, always positive. Mike R., you know, always happy, always positive, but still struggling a little bit, you know, with life that we all do. And then Matt was like, listen, man, I'm, you know, I'm sober, but I still worry that I'm not good enough. Or I still, you know, have these fears that you would think a guy like this would have zero fear of anything. But he was still human. And the relationship I had with him, for some reason, really exposed the self-centered side of me. You know, that selfish me, you know. I think Matt thinks that I want to get sober, but the honest truth is I just want to have a friend like him. But unfortunately, that won't keep you sober. And I can remember being mad at him, like, or being upset with him and not wanting to talk to him. And you know, he wouldn't answer the phone and that would hurt my feelings. So I decided I would call him when I knew that he wouldn't be awake. You know, like, he didn't answer. It's not that he didn't answer the phone. He might have been sleeping. But, you know, I'm busy. I need to do that. It's insane. But through example, the good and the bad, you know, I remember changing my sobriety date because of pain pills. I probably wouldn't have. And he said, listen, man, if you want to be really sober, you need to change your sobriety date. That's what I would do. And I'd be like, I don't know if he said that's what I would do. He said, if you really want to be sober, if you want to be, you know, no strings attached sobriety, you probably should change your sobriety date. And I liked Matt. So, of course, I said, okay. But he showed me how to live through example, how to be with people. It was crazy. And, you know, it is a, it just falls back into that the thing that I got caught up in the beginning was, am I here to get sober or am I here to quit getting caught drinking? Because there was some confusion there. You know, early on, I wanted to get sober. But in the end, it turns out I really just wanted to stop getting caught at it. I wanted to stop. Yeah, that was it. I really wanted to stop getting caught at it. I wish, you know, I've always said, I wish I could still drink. I wish I wasn't such a fucking problem, man. But in the end, I'm really grateful that I can't. I'm grateful that I just can't have one. Because I think that one beer would have kept me from having this great life that I have today. The goods and the bads, you know. The ups and the downs. Yeah. I don't know. How's everybody doing? Let me read something today. Let me do a little see what's on the agenda here. Daily Reflections. Daily Reflections. All right. Let's see what we got. All right. January the 16th, hitting bottom. That makes sense. Why all this insistence that every AA must hit bottom first? The answer is that few people will sincerely try to practice the AA program unless they have hit bottom. For practicing AA's remaining 11 steps means the adoption of attitudes and actions that almost no alcoholic who is still drinking can dream of taking. Yeah, that's just like what I just said. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm an alcoholic. I'm grateful that I can't just have one, because if I was able to just have one, I wouldn't have been. I'd never have come to this program, right? And I would have never learned about, you know, all the gifts that this program gives, all of the spirituality and the awakening and the honesty and, you know, the reflection, the self-reflection that this program gives me. I would have missed out on all that if I could have just been having one drink. You know, you try to explain this to somebody that's a drinker, they don't get it. And I don't mean like a drunk. I mean just someone that has a couple beers. You try to talk to them about self and, you know, the bad. They have no clue. All right. Hitting bottom opened my mind and I became willing to try something different. What I tried was AA. My new life in the fellowship was a little like learning how to ride a bike for the first time. AA became my training wheels and my supporting hand. It's not that I wanted to help so much at the time. I simply did not want to hurt like that again. My desire to avoid hitting bottom again was more powerful than my desire to drink. In the beginning, that's what kept me sober. But after a while, I found myself working the steps to the best of my ability. I soon realized that my attitudes and actions were changing, if ever so slightly, one day at a time. I became comfortable with myself and others, and my hurting started to heal. Thank God for the training wheels and supporting hand that I chose to call Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, Ron M., my training wheels. You know, Mike R., first big boy bike. It is a serious blessing to be sober today. You know, I use this program in everything that happens in my life and in a day. And I find myself really using this program a lot in the state of where we're in right now. You know, refraining from opinions, refraining from, you know, getting too far out of my square, you know, turning my will and my power over to the care of a higher power, just, you know, confessing my fears and sharing that I'm not strong enough or smart enough to handle all this and turning it over to somebody that or something that is, and that's to me is my higher power. Using all of the tools that I've learned. Because in the end, that is my biggest fear. That is the kind of shit that will slowly start to open that door, which was opened before. And yeah, nobody wants to hit rock bottom, but nothing changes lives like shame and guilt. And it's usually, you know, when what do they say? You can hit bottom or you can hit rock bottom or you can hit bottom and then you can actually get out and start digging. You know, I don't want to have that happen. And this program luckily was there. Rock bottom is still out there for me. I'm just going to try to avoid it.